Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Lord, Lord, we need change in our life, Lord, to become
changed. Yes, Lord.
And that which was done in the past, oh Lord, we won't do no more.
Lord, Lord, change our minds.
Hallelujah.
Tonight, change our hearts tonight, Lord. Lord, Lord, maybe our thoughts will not be moved.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
And I thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
Showing us your way tonight, Lord. For you are the way.
Hallelujah.
And the truth and the life, O Lord. And we say, no man come to the Father except by you, Lord. Let it come, Lord. Let your way be revealed to those who say. Lord, that we all might recognize.
This call is being recorded.
Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the changing of the mind and the changing of the heart.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, you would grant to me.
You are the last party in the conference. This call is being recorded. You are the last party in the conference. This call is being recorded.
Okay, we're where's your sneakers? Who's that?
Oh, yeah, how you acting? You have sticks anyway, right?
Thank you.
Tonight, we welcome you Thank you. Every prayer, I know, right?
You can have some jacked up, 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 jacked
Blessed are the poor in spirit. There is the kingdom of you know. Church, yes, faith, that's the beginning part of it.
Amen.
And that ain't it.
Right.
Most of us, we stop right there. We say, okay, I'm safe. No, we have to, now we got to get the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. And we can stop them. If you stop there, then now you deliver from the knowledge of the world. So you stop right there, you will be in your own will.
Yeah.
Your own knowledge. Now you're trying to figure it out for yourself.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're not in the world. We took anything. We came to a point where we we didn't listen to so much that now we're figuring out the game.
Okay.
We're figuring the game out. So then we're like, okay, no game now for the game for my own. Amen. So now we start that we're in our own. That's why he said, that's why he continued and he said, see what needs to be planted? The word of God.
Yeah. because he gave me a spirit here, but I've been in my word. I've been praying. I've been reading, fasting, concentrate here. I got to tell you, oh, mama, you got me ready to fill up for 5 hours? I got to tell you, that looks like y'all.
Oh,
I need to get out of the center, I think, by 3 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
I'm in the center. Okay. So, realized today, we have church, somebody prophesied to me at one time that the devil was trying to kill me. And I prophesied it several times. And today it finally hit me that it wasn't a physical death.
Ooh,
it was a spiritual death.
Yes.
So today I realized that the devil wants to kill me because he knows once I elevate me,
don't want to
kill me. Come on, I get it in the spirit to kill me. Amen. And so my sister is in the house tonight. As a man, it's just an old king. So God had a design, we didn't even know it.
Come on now.
So,
talk about it.
So what God gave me was that
I warned you beforehand, just as I did previously. that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You're not responsive. So when you about to walk off the land and feel like you about to turn away, you about to go back, you need to have you a spiritual spark in you. You call and say, hey, look, I'm about to go sleep with that man. You need to pray for me right now. I'm about to go to be anointed with this woman. Can you pray with me tonight? I'm about to go talk about my symptoms. Can you pray with me tonight? I'm about to start hating on people.
We need to be doing more of this. We need to be reviving God's people like Peter.
on tonight, Heavenly Father. Allow us to feel your touch, God. Allow us, our empty cup to be filled by your presence, God. If any need, God, allow it to be restored on God. Because there's something about dwelling in your presence. It's also something about when the members of the body of Christ come together and worship and honor you, God. So I magnify our spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, have your way. We pray, God, that you are, Lord. Decrease me so that you may increase. In the mighty name of Jesus.
to know and be loved. It's a symbol that we see throughout Scripture as a place where God dwells and provides for his people. God says that you will join him already. Okay. So in my mind, if he's going to prepare a table for us, it's going to be something really well prepared, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to look inviting and welcoming. Amen? It's probably going to feel comforting and warm. It's going to be inviting. It's going to make you want to sit down, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to have some sort of expression of love. Have you ever sat down at your grandma's table and you just felt love?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? It's probably going to offer some sort of protective type feeling, right? It's going to feel safe, a place where you can be vulnerable if you need to.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And it's going to feel comfortable dwelling there for a while. You won't be in a rush to
get up.
Can you imagine if we had a table and the Holy Spirit literally came to join us?
Mm-hmm.
What an opportunity. Think about that. Right? Think about that for a minute. If you had a prepared table and the Holy Spirit literally came and sat down and joined you, what would that feel like? What would that feel like? I can imagine what that would feel like. Right?
Right.
So we understand that metaphorically, a table is right?
Jesus.
Right? We understand that.
Jesus.
Well, what type of presence do you cultivate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would imagine that some of us ladies who have homes, our tables look a certain way. Some of us may have the core centerpieces on them. Some of us may have nothing. Some of us may have mail. Some of us may have baby bottles. Some of us may have, I don't know, just whatever. Right? It's an expression of you, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when someone leaves your table, your presence, what type of experience do they have? How did you leave them feeling? What did you prepare? And we know that the presence, the atmosphere that we cultivate, where does it come from? It comes from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
If you have love in your heart, I would imagine that your table would represent some sort of love.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a mom, when your kids come home, you want them to feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to feel welcome.
Right.
Your table, you want it to feel warm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're dating, you might want your table to look sexy. You might want it to fighting, right? But it stems from what's in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Your heart is your core of your of what you represent. Your presence. What you cultivate around you. Amen?
Amen.
Which is why the Bible tells us to what? Wear the breastplate of righteousness to protect us. Right?
Right.
Because the heart is such a powerful, it's the core of who we are. And when we allow things to store up in our heart, we sometimes exude the wrong thing.
Amen.
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 But the word tells us we're supposed to be representing righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Present the scripture tells y'all stop me when I'm wrong. Okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Well, what does righteousness represent? Righteousness represents blameless, innocent, pure. Right? That's what we're called to be. Right? God has called us to be righteous.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Amen?
Because the breastplate of
righteousness.
Amen. All right?
Amen.
So righteousness represents virtue, good quality. Are you a good quality person? What's in your heart?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Morality, ethics, principles. What are your ethics? My sister just taught on sin and calling it out. Are you calling out the
faith?
Are you living it? Amen? Justice, being a fair, considerate person. Amen?
Amen.
Are you fair and considerate or are you condemning and judging?
Mm.
What is in your heart?
Yes.
What type of presence are you cultivating at your table?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Decency, integrity, honesty, reliability. These are all characteristics.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The next subject I'd like to share with you guys is a well-prepared table. Now, imagine with me, if you will, that this table here represents righteousness. Mm-hmm. And we're going to pretend like the tablecloth has been stained, not wrinkly. And we're going to pretend like this is really glassware and not plastic, and these are real gold silverware. Mm-hmm. We're going to pretend that this is a very righteous-looking table. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be a table that represents righteousness. We're going to call this a well-prepared table.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That we must protect our hearts
mm-hmm.
from the enemy's evil and negative things he tries to plant in our hearts. Right?
Right.
And the enemy is always going to try and attack our righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's our purity, our virtue. Amen?
Amen.
And he does not want to see us living righteously. And there's some key areas, bear with me if you guys will, where the enemy comes in and tries to attack
mm-hmm.
our righteousness.
Amen.
The first one we're going to talk about today is our emotions.
Okay.
Our emotions. They're going to come in through their emotions
uh-huh.
and try and knock us out of the path of righteousness.
Amen.
And what is the biggest emotional response that he comes with? If you was on the call on Thursday, you already know the answer to that. Oh, come on. Say it again.
Pride.
Pride is the biggest emotional response the enemy uses to keep us stuck and disrupt our righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But we know this. What do we know? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride ruins relationships, family, close friends,
yes.
and church family.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Pride is so destructive,
yes.
and it's so crazy that that's the very thing the enemy uses to attack our emotions, attack our righteousness,
right.
and it discombobulates everything. It's the very thing that got his behind kicked out of heaven. Amen? Pride causes us to stay stuck because we refuse to admit, who was just talking about that?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We was in the pain. Our flaws and sinful natures and turn them to God to make us righteous. Instead, we want to blame others and deflect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what pride makes us do.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, if you will, that if I am operating in the spirit of pride, I might have this big old face on my table. Why? Because it's tall, it's big, it's overly exaggerated. If you sit down, you can't see the real me. It's blocking your view from seeing the real me. But it looks kind of beautiful.
Right?
Wow.
Right? Right?
Right? Jesus. Reason pride resides in our heart is protecting, guarding a wound. Right underneath pride is usually something that we're guarding. Right?
Mm-hmm.
A sense of entitlement, maybe because we feel like we're beautiful or we feel like we have some sort of talent. We're worthy of deserving of a seat because of how we need to be exalted, right?
Uh-huh.
These are all things that are disrupting our righteousness. They know by them.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Insecurity. We feel incapable.
Mm-hmm.
So we cover or overcompensate because our insecurity.
Yeah.
All of this is the pinnacles of pride.
Mm.
But we are reminded that Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace.
Oh, wow.
But with humility comes wisdom.
Mm.
What is wisdom? God's righteousness. Right? God's righteousness. God opposes, and what's the opposite of pride?
Humility.
Humility. Sometimes we have to do a humility check. Because we all like to think we're humble, right? Because nobody is walking around saying I'm a proud, prideful person.
Right.
But if you're operating operating, if you're not operating in humility, you're operating in pride. So every now and again, you can't do a humility check, right?
Okay.
How do you check your humility? Well, you check your humility in how you respond to others.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
How do you respond? Do you deflect? Do you accuse? Do you get offended?
Right.
Why are we so people. You know how it's evident? Because we start moving different once we get a fit.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that. I won't say
what
training
I'm
offended. I'm just going to say
yeah.
I'm offended. I'm not going to hang out with right now. Right? Right. Because how do you know that God hasn't called you and what you have overcome in your life to minister to that person?
Yeah.
But we allow our pride to get in the way. Amen.
Yeah.
You judge, you persecute. These are heart checks. Are you operating in pride, and or are you operating in humility? Amen.
Yeah.
Do you get angry? Do you deny? Do you reject? Do you recluse? That means you go off the time. This is a season of isolation for me. God is calling me away from people. How? When he ordained us to live in unity with community, right?
Right. That's good. That's good.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
We got to get that in order, y'all. Because when people come and sit at your table and you're exuding pride, how do you think that leaves them feeling? Another way the enemy tries to attack our righteousness is through our identity.
Amen.
When we do not realize who we are in Christ, we become lost with conforming to the world's
right.
ways and norms.
That's right.
We live in the same thing.
Yeah, come on, Jesus.
That's right.
The enemy's biggest attack on our identity is rejection. Right? When we understand that rejection is a wound that typically begins early in life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
And it's left untreated. And it turns into an infection.
Right.
And then we have an infection part.
Oh,
wow. Wow. Wow.
And remember, what we're cultivating comes from the heart.
Amen.
The enemy wants that false personality within the person who has experienced rejection.
Yeah, yeah.
False identity. We're trying to become something that we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Feeling the need to perform.
Yeah.
Act tough. Overly arrogant. Or too kind with no boundaries. That ain't good either.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. People who have suffered with rejection have a hard time believing they are loved. And they have a hard time receiving love.
Yeah, yeah,
sure. The enemy's purpose is to persuade you to accept and love the acceptance of the world. But like Sister said, we're conforming to gay and lesbian lifestyles,
yeah.
Gang behavior, cults, fraternities and sororities. Yes, I said it. Even religious groups and cliques, right? Because we just need to be included. We just want to be in.
Right.
Right. We just want to be in. So I would imagine if I was dealing with rejection and I set something on my table, if I looked at them like this. Now, this is a whole mess. Some of the flowers are real. Some of them are fake.
Mm-hmm.
The colors don't go together. The hair ties don't. But I have to put on. Right. I ain't even got a bandana. I ain't a killer, but don't push me. You were called to love. These personalities are covering your heart. Sometimes we even shrink, right, to cover up how we really feel on the inside. Instead of my dick, I might contaminate you. You're trying to overcome this. I might cause you to fall short. What's at the table? What is at your table? I'm just not comfortable being myself when I'm under dealing with the spirit of projection.
Jesus.
To my table. What is at your table? What are you exuding? How are you making people feel when they come into your presence?
Wow. Wow.
Some identifiers, you just need to be delivered from rejection. Lust. Insecurity.
Yes.
Pride.
Yes.
Self-accusation. Now that self-blame or self-incrimination. Overthinking everything. Amen. Perfectionism, I have to be perfect at everything.
Right.
Just think of self. Right? God loves us, flaws, and all. In fact, he uses those flaws for his glory.
Uh-huh.
He didn't create us to be perfect. Amen.
Yeah.
Feeling that life where people are unfair, always in your feelings and emotions, you overthinking everything. Deliver us. Guilt, shame, super sensitive. Easily offended, uncomfortable being yourself, creating a false identity or alter ego, then why can't you just be who you are? Amen?
Amen.
Fear, paranoia, indecisiveness, and two paths.
Mm-hmm.
This is some identifiers that you might need to be delivered from the spirit of rejection. Amen. Because Romans 12:2 tells us, do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. When we're not renewing our mind, we're conforming to the world's norms.
Right.
But like Sister Jesus said, we got to be in our word. But we never understand what the character of Christ truly looks like so that we can see ourselves through his lens and realize that we are perfectly made in his image.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if the world rejects you because he has accepted you. And when you get that understanding under your belt, you can run and reduce that spirit of rejection. Amen? You can call that thing out and say, come out in the name of Jesus. I don't need to pretend like somebody I'm not because I'm the devil to me.
Amen?
Amen.
Right.
Renew your mind by healing.
Mm-hmm.
Rebuke that spirit of rejection.
Yes.
And don't be afraid of therapy. Why are we scared of that as a church? Why do we feel like we just need to put a band-aid on it?
Uh-huh.
Say that. Don't let that come out of your mouth. Just declare the word of God over. Well, yes, that's true. But we're spirit, soul, and body. And if we can handle that on the spiritual side, right? There's no declarations and those professing things and those claims. Victory and healing is perfect. That's what we're supposed to do. But there's a person that we need to deal with. There's an individual. There's some things that we have gone through and experienced that we need to deal with.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing wrong with going and seeking therapy to help get those things under control. Amen? Next, another attack on our righteousness. Our trust. Amen? When we rely on our own knowledge or perspective of a situation, our trust becomes wavered. And we develop those things called trust issues.
Mm-hmm.
I got trust issues.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
But the word of God says in Proverbs 3:5-6, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean out on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall make your path straight. But the enemy uses trust issues to keep your hearts hardened from relationships with people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And trusting God through all circumstances. The enemy will attack us with a spirit of fear when our trust is not in God.
Uh-huh.
So I might have a few things at my table. I have trust issues. Just in case you don't, right? I got something for you. Just in case you want to move.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't a killer, but don't put me right. Just in case you want to get saucy, I'm going to spray you down. So come and sit with me.
But I got trust issues. Come on, Jesus.
Just in case you say the wrong thing, I'm going to poke your eye out. Because I got trust issues. But come and sit at my table. Come hang out with me. Mm-hmm. And just set it down.
My God.
I got issues.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. The sin of fear, which is directly tied to our trust issues, manifests itself within panic attacks, fear, fright. Afraid to try new things.
Amen.
Hesitant to make and establish new relationships.
Uh-huh.
I got trust issues. Overly guarded. I got trust issues. What is going on with your heart? We know that fear is directly tied to those trust issues. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. So we combat fear by strengthening our trust in God. Start there first. Before you try and trust people. And then we lean not on our own understanding. Lord, I don't know why you would have me invite Sister So-and-so to my house. Because this time last year she was talking about. God said, put that up. Put that up.
Because
I want to use you.
Amen.
So we need to get rid of all these things and allow God to create in us a clean heart and a righteous spirit. And then once we do that, we have to put on the great plate of righteousness. We have righteousness. We have to be an inviting and pleasing place for people to dwell.
Amen.
Because when we set a table that's comfortable for people, the Holy Spirit can dine with us.
Right.
When God has called you to a ministry, you set a table.
Yeah.
You create an atmosphere. You create an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come dwell and pour out in souls. But how does your table look? Does it look inviting? Now, we know the Holy Spirit will meet us where we are and love us where we are, but people won't. We got to get ourselves right. If we're calling ourselves men and women of God, we are called to cultivate a clean heart and a righteous spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, how do you do that? How do you cultivate a clean heart and a righteous spirit? Let's look at Psalms 51. And this is another one of my absolute favorite scriptures. And I'll read it myself. It says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And grant me with a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way. And I can use your life to display his glory. Amen. So that sinners will come back to you. That's what we want to do, right? Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed of God. You who are God and my Savior. And my soul will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offering. Amen. My sacrifice, oh God, is a broken spirit. A broken spirit and a contrite heart. You, God, will not despise.
All right. Amen.
Amen. So how do we clean our hearts? We clean our hearts with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's called humble worship. That's called laying it at the altar. That's called allowing the crushing to happen to get all of that stuff out of you. And it looks like acknowledging it and admitting, Lord, it's called grace. Deliver me from it. Because I can't do it without you. A broken spirit and a contrite heart. Humble repentance. Brokenness here represents being open and responsive to God's direction, as opposed to being hardened or resentful. God is pleased by this kind of humble repentance.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
So the challenge is, clean your heart to become a well-prepared table. Amen?
Amen.
Which table would you want to sit at?
Mm.
Here? Which represents righteousness? Or here? Which represents a hot mess? Ask yourself, what table do I represent?
Right.
What table do I represent?
Thank you.
What do I need to give to the Father?
Yes.
What do I need to lay at the altar?
Oh, God.
What do I need to turn away from? I'm so humble for people.
Yes.
Create in me, oh God, a clean heart and a righteous spirit. You are not worried about my works. You are not worried about my talents. You are not worried about what I am capable to deliver. You are worried about my heart. And all you want from me, God, is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Because then and only then I can look to you for total reliance, total dependence. Only then and then can I look to you and truly offer righteousness. Then and only then can I be a well-prepared table that you can use to display your glory. Amen.
Amen.
So I challenge all of us for tonight that we don't leave out of here the way that we came. Nobody's perfect.
Come on.
And we all have something that we can give to God.
Amen.
We all have an area where we can truly, humbly repent and ask God, make me a well-prepared table. Amen.
Amen.
I pray that this blessing is on tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Whatever happened in your life, if you haven't gone back and God allowed that, Is
that a
One thing I'm I want to thought about it, but
Pastor Corey,
thank the Lord.
Checking out.